Amen. Remain standing, if you will, Brother Scott. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. Would you do it with all of your might, with all of your strength? The Bible says that's how we ought to praise Him, with all of our body, mind, soul, and strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of praise. God, we want to worship you. Give honor and glory unto you. Hallelujah. Elisha prayed for his servant's eyes to be open. He looked around and he said, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. If the Lord were to open our eyes tonight, our words might be, they that are with us are more than we. But the Lord is in this place tonight. Amen. And I believe the Lord wants to do a work in this place tonight. They took Saul. You may be seated. They took Saul, and after they killed him, they took off, after he had fallen on his sword, they cut off his head, they took his armor, and then they took his body. And they nailed it to the wall of their gods. And then they said, look, we have God's anointed nailed to the wall. Where is their God? But what they didn't realize was that God's anointed was not nailed to their wall, but God's anointed was alive and well. Amen. And the enemy in our day thinks he's got the church backed against the wall. The media and all of those are pointing and saying, look, we've got the church nailed to the wall, but I've got news for them. God's church is alive and well. The spirit of revival and the spirit of victory is alive and well in the church, and there's going to be revival in the land. There's going to be a move of the Lord, and there's going to be, and there is, a glorious church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm part of it. I'm part of it.
Thank God.
Amen. I thank the Lord. My anticipator's working good. I'm anticipating great things. If you can see the needle on my anticipator tonight, it's clear over on in the red streak, because I'm anticipating the Lord to do tremendous things in this last day. I'm believing the Lord in this service for great things. Amen. Well, I know it's Wednesday night. And I know all of those things, and I know we've got folks that are sick, and maybe some of y'all are not feeling that well, but I believe the Lord wants to minister in this place.
Sure.
But I also know that God can be hindered from working. God can be frustrated by us not opening up or not allowing Him to work. If we don't minister unto Him, if we don't offer praise unto Him, if we don't stir up the gift that's within us, if we don't stir our own hearts and involve ourselves in what the Lord would like to do, He is limited as to what He can do. Amen. I don't want to be guilty of that tonight. I want to let the Lord do a work in this place. I want to let the Lord move through me. I want to let the Lord touch these people tonight. I want to let the Lord stir our hearts. Amen. You won't scare me. I was preaching Sunday night, or I guess it was Wednesday night. We were preaching in a little church, and there was a fella sitting right in the middle. Man, everything I say, he was getting up, going, "Yeah, I said, Lord, yes, Lord." And I was preaching about Moses, and I got talking. He was jumping and hollering, and Moses, I said, "Moses laid down that rod, and it became a serpent." He said, "Yeah, Lord, it did." And then I said, "Oh, Pharaoh," he said, "that's no big deal." I said, "Pharaoh just..." "Yeah," he said, "yeah." I said, "Pharaoh just called his men in, and they laid down theirs, and they became..." "Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did." And I said, "But you know what Moses, serpent, did? He jumped up and he said, 'He ate him! He ate him!'"
Yeah.
You won't make me nervous. If that guy didn't do it, you're not going to make me nervous. I believe the Lord wants to do a work in this place tonight.
Amen.
And I want Him to do it. I want Him to do it.
Amen.
My wife's going to sing. Would you just take hold of yourself tonight and say, "God, somehow just for the next few moments, I promise I'll be short." That's right. And I was going to stay short. But I believe the Lord wants to do something tonight.
Sure.
And it could be that some of these folks want to receive the Holy Ghost. It could be that God wants to give it to them tonight. I believe He does. Amen. And we need to help them. We need to help them. We need to help create an atmosphere where the Lord can work. The Bible says He dwells in the praise of His people. And so I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not expecting any of y'all to get up like that fella did, but I'm just saying, let's get a hold of ourselves and let's get our minds on the Lord for just a few moments. And let's say, Lord, we need You here tonight. And we want to minister to You and we want You to minister to us. Hey, they're not here, but we are, and we need to get a move. We need to get into the presence of the Lord, and we need to have church. We're here, so let's have some. Let's have church. Let's let the Lord work, and let's minister unto Him. Amen.
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 On a stormy sea of sin, I was sinking, never to rise again. The wind and the rain round me crashing. Cold, dark waters of sin, troubled sea, Jesus rescued me. New life I now see, Jesus reached down in love, and He rescued me. I can feel death's arm around me as I struggled for my life. I could see death's angel waiting just to lay me for His bride. But in the hour of desperation, when I almost lost my mind, but somehow I cried to Jesus, and He saved me just in time. Oh, He rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin, troubled sea. Jesus rescued me. New life I now see. I could feel death's arm around me as I struggled for my life. I could see death's angel waiting just to claim me for His pride. But in that hour of desperation, when I almost lost my mind, but somehow I cried to Jesus, and He saved me just in time. Jesus rescued me. He rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin, troubled sea. Jesus rescued me. New life I now see. Oh, He reached down in love, yes. He reached down in love, and He rescued me.
Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. Praise God. battled back and forth today as to what I'd speak to you about tonight. The Lord, in my own life, has been really helping me to understand how vital and important it is that we have a personal relationship with Him. There are those times that in the hour and the day that we're living in, it is so important that we have a private devotion with the Lord on a regular basis, and really needs to be on a daily basis, that we spend time together with Him. We're living in an hour when, you know, there was a time when folks lived from Sunday night to Sunday night. But it doesn't go like that in this day. There's a number of folks who are I believe it's a tremendous day of revival, but there are also folks who are losing out because they've never really developed a personal devotion with the Lord and a personal time with Him. And then there's so many beautiful things about that, because it was Moses was alone when he saw the burning bush. Abraham was alone when he received the promises of God. There are those things that God does for us. John was alone when he had the book, when he had the revelation that he wrote the book of Revelation about. And Jesus spent time alone in prayer. There are beautiful, beautiful things that the Lord can talk with us about, and we talk with Him about in those times alone with Him in prayer. Amen. It's an important thing. He told Moses, He said, there's a place by my side. I believe there's a place by the Lord's side. I believe we can walk in that place by His side. I believe the Lord desires for us to be there. We can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I believe God desires for us to do that. And I believe it's not necessarily a church that has everything all together, but it's a group of people who will do that in this last day that's going to see the great move of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's always done things for folks who had time for Him. Amen. But I'm going to... I said all that because I wasn't going to preach that, and I felt like I needed to say it, maybe for some of the new folks. Maybe the rest of us have already developed that and already have it all together. But I feel like that it's so important in this day that we do begin to develop a personal time of devotion with the Lord. I mean, I know that some of us have been living for the Lord for 25 years and maybe longer, and I know you're going to make it. But if we develop that time of personal devotion with Him, how much more would the Lord be able to do with us in this last day? How much closer could we walk with Him in this last day? I believe that's important. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 19th verse says, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish." I always enjoy that verse. He kind of tells you, look in the mirror, and you see that not many not mighty or noble men are called. And then he said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence."
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about getting to the place where, you know the old saying, too big for your britches? You know what that means. I'll tell you what it meant. Always meant for me. It always meant you're just about ready to get a spanking.
Yeah.
That was, I heard those words, and then the next words were, bend over my knee. And I want to talk to you. I think it's possible for us to get too smart for our britches, or too smart for our own good. I really do think that it's possible for us to get to the place where we know so much that we can have church, God or no God.
Oh.
And that we can do things that even appear to be religious and are in that sense religious, but God or no God, we can do them. We can get too smart really for our own good, that we know how to do things and we don't really even really need the Lord.
Amen.
And I sure don't want that to happen to me. And I'm going to preach to you about it for just a little bit. I believe that, and you'll understand, that Christianity has come a long way.
Amen.
We've come a long way from where we used to be, and thank God that we have. We were challenged by society to measure up intellectually. They looked at us, they looked at the church, especially Pentecostals. And they said they're so ignorant and unlearned, and they were right, and they might still be. In many ways, we are still not, you know, all of us are not all that intelligent and know all that much about the things of the world. And so from that standpoint, I'm sure that they're right. But we were challenged because we just have to tell them when they'd ask us why we believe what we believe and what it was that we believed. Many times we couldn't explain it. Many times we couldn't tell them very much about it. And so we were challenged by them to measure up intellectually. And I think we've done that, and I'm glad we have. There are a lot of people who wouldn't be in church today if we hadn't accepted the challenge. Amen. If we hadn't put some things together. Thank God for some beautiful churches, and thank God for men of God who have studied and who have applied themselves and who have do a little better with the English language. I don't do that well with it, but God, thank God there are men who have accomplished that and who have become good speakers and all of those things. It's very important that we do that. Thank God that our singing has improved and we do lots better than getting up and saying, let's see now, what key should we try this in? And starting off in one and, you know, and going through. And I think let's try it in 3 flats. And so, is there such a key?
Yeah.
okay. And so they start off and they say, I'll fly. No, that's not. Raise it up just a little bit. And we go through that. Thank God that we've conquered some of that. And we're doing a little better with some of those things. Amen. I think that's important. I think we need to, because there are people who are coming into our churches today who are more intelligent. There are people who are coming into our churches, and I understand that. And we need to. The Bible teaches us to study to show ourselves approved. And the Bible teaches us that we should be ready to give every man an answer. And I think it's good that we've done that. Thank the Lord for it. But I also think it's possible that we get so professional or so intelligent that we don't really allow for a move of the Lord. There are those who, and thank God we're not there, but there are those who have become so smart that they don't believe some of the things that are in this book because they cannot be explained rationally.
Amen.
There are those who don't believe in the resurrection because you cannot explain it. You can't sit down and write a book and say, this is how the resurrection happened. And scientifically, this is how it took place. You can't do that. And so intelligently, you cannot explain the resurrection. You cannot explain the virgin birth. But I believe it happened. There are those who would say it doesn't because educationally or intellectually, they can't explain it. They can't tell you about it. They can't sit down and say, this is how the virgin... It's impossible that it happened that way, but it's not impossible. It's what happened. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and the child that was born of her was of the Holy Ghost. Amen. She was born of a virgin. I believe that.
I believe
He resurrected from the dead. He rose from the dead. Well, He was God. How could He raise Himself? He rose from the dead. He did it. He brought Himself back. He died.
Yeah.
He didn't really... Yes, He really died.
He did.
And He really rose from the dead. There are those who won't believe in miracles because they can't be explained. But I know folks who have gone to the doctor and the doctor said, you've got cancer. And those same little old lady maybe come to the church and say, Pastor, the doctor said, I've got cancer. He said, I'm going to die. He studied all of his books and he's talked with all of his friends and he says, there's no answer for me. There's no hope for me. But Pastor, I believe if you'll pray for me, I'll be healed. And I've seen where the pastor would anoint with oil
and lay hands. And that same lady go to the doctor the next day and say, "Doctor, I want you to check me again." And he'll say, "But I checked you yesterday and you got cancer. You're going to die." "Well, doctor, I got prayed for last night." "Well, that's fine and well, but that's I've tried everything there is. There's nothing that will help you. You've got cancer." "Well, doctor, please, I want you to check me again. I'll pay you. I'll do whatever you want. Just check me again." And so the doctor would check him again and there'd be nothing there. And he'd say, "I can't explain it. I told you yesterday everything I knew. Intellectually, I can't explain it. I can't tell you scientifically how it happened. But there's no cancer in your body. I'll tell you something. I believe in miracles in this day. I believe the Lord's still doing it. I can't explain how it happened, but I believe when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover."
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless God.
Amen.
There are those who have become so intelligent that they've decided that religious groups who have become so intelligent, they've decided to write the blood out of their songbooks.
Amen.
They've decided that intellectually that's offensive. To educated people, that's offensive.
Yeah.
We shouldn't sing about that blood. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as I'm around, I'm going to sing about the blood. Because if I don't have the blood, I don't have anything. I don't have forgiveness of sins. There's no atonement for my sin. There's no salvation. There's no healing. There's no deliverance.
Right.
Amen. Now I know, so far we've talked about things everybody believes. I know you believe in the virgin birth. I know you believe in miracles. I know you believe in the resurrection. I know you believe in singing about the blood, shouting about the blood, crying about the blood, talking about the blood, preaching about the blood. Because that's everything.
Amen.
But I wonder if there are not some other areas where we've gotten so smart. Tell you what, we look at some things that happen, and we that's not God.
You got me.
I hope you won't mind me using this to help me. Jesus walked up to a man, and the man couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And so they said to Jesus, they said, "We want you to take him over here, and we want you to just touch him and make him be able to see, or make him be able to hear, or make him be able to talk." And that's all they wanted Jesus to do, was just touch him, and that's all he needed to do. He could have done it that way. But the Bible said he told that man, he said, "Now here, stick your fingers in your ears." And then he said, "Now, I want you to stick out your tongue." And said, "Be open." And the deaf heard. And the dumb spoke. You know what a lot of us would have said? "That wasn't God."
Yeah. We wouldn't like that.
But that's what Jesus did. He put mud balls in a guy's eyes that couldn't see. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, he could have said, "Hocus pocus, you can see." He could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose to do it that way. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't do everything just exactly the way we would do it. He doesn't do everything just according to our plan. And if we get so limited in our thinking that God has to move this way or not at all, it'll be not at all. God's going to do it His way. And we need to open up our thinking and allow the Lord to do some things in a mysterious way. We need to allow for the foolishness of God. I'm not talking about just foolishness. I know there's some of that. I'm talking about the foolishness of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I wonder if we were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, would we not have said, "Now, listen, Shad, if we, you know, they're going to kill us." Yeah. If we just bow down, we won't really be doing anything. They'll think we are, but we know we're not really going to be worshiping. Listen, if we go ahead and bow down to it, then we can live. And if we live, we can do something for God. But if we die, what are we going to be able to do for the Lord?
And they could have rationalized that thing and intellectualized that thing until they could have decided that the best thing for them to do was to go ahead and bow down so they could live and work for the Lord. But really, that was not the case. The best thing for them to do was do what they did. I don't know if the Lord's going to deliver me or not, but I believe that He doesn't want us to worship this image. I believe He doesn't want me to bow down. Worship belongs to the Lord. Amen. And because they stood their ground, revival broke out. Because they stood their ground, the Spirit of the Lord was able to do the work that it desired to do. It seemed crazy. It seemed foolish to be thrown into that fire. But it was the way of the Lord, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's clap our hands to the Lord.
Praise God.
There are those in our day who have decided already in their mind that the better thing for us to do, the smart thing for us to do, is to go ahead and bow down to some things. Go ahead and do some things that seem to be all right, seem to be nothing too much wrong with them. And we know if we get ourselves in, we're not really of the world, and we're not really, but we'll just go ahead and do them. And I'm going to tell you what, that's getting too smart for your own good. We live in a generation when people don't like for anybody to tell them what to do.
Right.
Especially preacher. I want to tell you right now, I'm not on an ego trip. I don't get all thrilled about standing up here when I'd like rather preach just things about, ooh, revival's coming. We're going to have a move of God and shout and dance and run. But there are times when the Lord says, I need you to preach this, and people need to hear that. And I don't get all on a big kick about this. Oh, I'm going to get on them tonight. You know, that's no big. We don't ride that kind of a high. That's not the reason for us being here. But the Lord has put the minister there as a watchman on the wall. But we live in a generation when folks don't want that.
Amen.
Folks don't want anybody to tell them anything.
Right.
Don't tell me how to live. And people are taking what they want out of the Bible. They hear a sermon and they take what they want out of the sermon and they leave the rest of it. They'll only hear what they want to hear. They'll only take what they want to take. They don't want to really submit to the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to have revival and you want to have a move of the Lord and you want to have the Spirit of God and the blessing of God on your life, you got to take this whole book. You got to take everything that it says. I don't agree with all of it either. But it's not up to my approval. There's things in there I'd have done different if I was doing it. You would have too. But that's God's way. I preached one time. I was preaching about worship, and I was talking about how we need to worship the Lord and all that. And after church, you know, everybody had worshiped pretty well. There were a few folks, and there was one that came up to me after church and said, I don't believe in that foolishness. And said, that's just, it's all right for you, but that's just not my way. I said, it's not my way either. It's His way.
Praise God.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, well. Hey, if it was good when you first got the Holy Ghost, it ought to still be good today.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
But what happens is we grow up, you know, we get mature. And we decide we know better now. You know, the Lord starts moving on us and, well, I really feel like running, you know, I really feel like, oh, but I better not, you know, people would think. You know, what people might think. And what you're doing is you're rationalizing. You're getting so smart that God, who made you begin to feel like that, you're so smart that you've just outsmarted God and you've outsmarted yourself. And you miss out on the blessing of the Lord. How many times have we missed out on the real blessing of the Lord because it seemed like it wasn't the intelligent thing to do, or it seemed like it wasn't the smart thing to do? Now, I'm not talking about just being crazy and stupid, but I'm telling you that when the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God starts to make you feel like doing something, you need to do it, even if it seems foolish. Even if it seems silly. This is really going over, I can tell. I guess that's not why I'm up here, for it to just go over him.
There are folks in our world who believe that we'd be a whole lot smarter if we'd just not baptized in Jesus' name.
You're right.
We'd just build a big church and we'd be just so much smarter if we just wouldn't baptize in Jesus. If we'd just change that one thing. But I want to tell you what again. That's foolishness of men. That's not the foolishness of God. Because the Word of God says that we're to be baptized in Jesus' name. And if we don't have that name on it, we're not in the bride of Christ. We're not part of Him. And even if it seems smarter to the world for us to change that, it's not smarter to God. It's not smarter for us.
Right.
Amen. The smart thing is to submit to the Word of the Lord.
Right.
There are those who say, well, if you just let them say they got the Holy Ghost when they repented and just say, you know, you said receive the Holy Ghost and they received the Holy Ghost. This tongue stuff, if you just leave that out. But we can't leave that out because it's the Word of God. We can't. It seems foolish. I might have chose some other way for a sign of people to receive the Holy Ghost. Maybe when they smiled, that meant they got it. I could have figured something like that out. Been a whole lot easier. But the Lord said that they spoke with other tongues when the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And so the way you know you got the Holy Ghost is you speak with other tongues. That's foolishness. Well, if it is, it's the foolishness of God and it's wiser than men. It's the weakness of God and it's stronger than men. Amen. Those folks in that book of Acts turned their world upside down. We've gotten to the place where we think, I'm just going to go ahead for about 5 more minutes and then I'll quit, all right? We've gotten so timid. The church has become so backward and so timid and so reserved. Those folks in the book of Acts turned their world upside down because they just took it, the simple things and they just went hog wild with them. But we've got to stop and rationalize and intellectualize and figure out all of this and that. And we decide, well, they probably don't want to hear it because in our own thinking. But those men just took it and went with it. They ran with it. It seemed foolish to say, silver and gold have I none in the name of Jesus Christ. Now rise up and walk. But when he said it, the man got up and walked. It seemed foolish to go into cities where people had never heard and people were angry and they were going to stone him to death. It seemed like a silly thing to do, but they did it anyway. And the Bible said in some of those places where they went that they heard the Word of God with, and they rejoiced at the Word of the Lord. We've gotten to the place where we think we don't know how they're going to respond. We just already determined because we're so smart. We've already determined that they don't want it. But the Bible said in some of the many of the places they went, the people rejoiced at the word of the Lord and they heard it and received it gladly. How do we know how they're going to receive it? We don't.
Bless God.
We've become so timid. We need a touch of the Holy Ghost. We need a touch of the Spirit of God. We need a move of the Lord. We need a revival.
Amen.
We've gotten so smart that we know how to put on and advertise for what we call revival. We know how to put on and advertise for all that business. And we know how to do and how to say all the right things to get ready for it and all of that business. But we really need a revival. We need a revival that gets us back on our knees and gets us back to fasting and gets us back in the prayer closet. We need a revival, a good stirring revival that would sweep holiness through our hearts, that would cause the praise to flow from us without people having to get up and beg and prompt and plead. We need a revival that will cause folks to want to be in church on a regular basis. We need a revival that will cause folks to begin to give to the cause of God without having to think and figure out, well, let me see, if I figure this and I figure that and then this and that, then okay, I can give this little bit to the Lord. There needs to be a sweeping revival and a move of the Lord that causes us to get back to the place where we're hungry for God and the kingdom of God and the church of the living God is first and foremost in our life. I said it and I feel a whole lot better. I believe we need a revival.
Sure.
I believe we need a move of the Lord. I don't think that it's just going to happen. We're going to have to get hungry for it. We're going to have to begin to pray for it and to fast for it and to seek for it and to desire for it.
Hallelujah.
But we don't need it because we're smart enough to go ahead and build our churches and all that business without it. If we do it that way, we're just building on sand.
That's right.
And it's going to fall. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit,
saith the Lord. We get a hometown spirit about the thing. And God could actually come and move in on us. And someone can say, hey, the Lord's here. Yeah, He is. Until we're just not even moved by it, not even affected by it. God's here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God's here. We need a move of the Lord. We need a touch of the Spirit of God. We need a revival to sweep through our hearts. Praise God. Where we get to that place. And I'm not talking about just throwing away everything. I'm just talking about coming to that place where we're tender. And when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move on our heart, something says, oh God, You're in this place. Oh God, You're here tonight.
Praise.
Oh God, You want to do a work tonight. So we can say, the Lord, if you're sick, the Lord wants to heal you. Oh, yeah. But something moves inside that says, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Somebody could get the Holy Ghost tonight, and we say, yeah. But the angels of heaven, when those words are spoken, somebody here tonight needs the Holy Ghost. Somebody could get the Holy Ghost tonight. The angels of heaven come to their places and get ready to begin rejoicing. Should not the church do the same? Should not we be stirred and moved? And shouldn't that really get a hold of our hearts to know that somebody is going to get the Holy Ghost? Somebody is here that needs the Holy Ghost. Shouldn't that move us to the edge of our seat? That's why we're here. That's what the church is all about.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Elisha told the king of Israel, smite the ground. But he just sort of, do what? Smite the ground with that arrow. You happy?
Yeah.
And then he said, do you realize that had you done it 5 or 6 times, you would have utterly destroyed your enemies. But because you only did it 3 times, there's going to come defeat. I honestly didn't want to preach this tonight. And when I get done, I'm going to wish I hadn't. But I believe the Lord's trying to talk to us. And I believe the Lord wants to stir us. And wants to breathe life back into us. And freshness back into our relationship with God. Oh, I've been living for the Lord for 10, 15, 20, however many years. But it can be just as fresh. Just as real. Just as vibrant.
Yeah.
I know that our bodies grow older. And I know that we are not able to do like we one time did. But somewhere there can be that vibrancy of spirit. There can be that freshness, that wonder. Maybe that's what it's all about. See, somehow we get to the place where we get it all figured out. And we lose the real wonder of it all. Lord, You mean You're going to move tonight? I wonder how He's going to do it. I wonder what He's going to do. I wonder what's going to happen. We're going to have church tonight. Wednesday night. I don't know what this is going to be. We better be out by this time, Lord. The wonder. This is all God. I want You to do whatever You want to do. I want You to be able to move. You mean You really want to do that? That's silly. That's silly. You mean, Lord, You're going to do that tonight? Oh, God. I want You to do that tonight. I want for somebody to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, I pray that
that we'd have a move of the Lord tonight. Lord, would you move in just a special way? Now, would you do something for us tonight? Lord, would you be in our midst? God, would you do a great thing for us? The freshness, the wonder. Let's stand together. We can get to the place where all we really can tell anybody about is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I remember how it used to be. And when we get to that place, we really don't have anything to offer but religion. But it doesn't ever have to get to that place. It can always be, let me tell you what the Lord did for me today. It can always be, let me tell you what the Lord is doing in our church today. Let me tell you what happened Wednesday night. Let me tell you what the Lord did last weekend. Let me tell you what God's doing. It can be like that. But we have to fight that thing that causes us to get too big for our britches. We have to fight that thing that allows us to get so smart. We just know everything, what's going to be, and what's going to happen, and what's going to... And say, oh God, I want you to move in a special way, in a new way, in a different way, in a fresh way. Praise God. I believe He wants to do that. I believe He wants to move yet in this service tonight. I believe there are those who are in this place that need the Holy Ghost. And I believe the Lord would like to fill them with His Spirit. I believe that. Oh, it's not been that kind of service for someone to get the Holy Ghost. Hey, there we go again. Got it all figured out. I've seen folks get the Holy Ghost in the driest, deadest service ever. How they do that, I don't know how. But God can do anything with a hungry heart. Praise God.